This is Eat Your Kimchi Radio.
It's time for.
So what you're saying is
Eat Your Kimchi. On SBS Pop Asia.
Welcome back to Eat Your Kimchi and SBS Pop Asia Radio. This is Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of Kichijoji, Tokyo, Japan. My favorite part of all of Japan. Kichijoji is the best. You know, we were talking a couple days ago to Dan about how international Kichijoji is.
Yeah.
Because it has a Russian restaurant here.
And a Swedish restaurant.
Like the only other Swedish restaurant you've ever been to outside of IKEA, let's be honest here.
Can't name one. I'm like, IKEA. I
dare you right now. Name another Swedish restaurant that isn't IKEA. Go.
Cricket. And we also have Indian cuisine. We have cuisine from Nepal.
We have Thai, Vietnamese cuisine here as well.
I'm sure there's other things.
We have American. We have McDonald's. We have like sports bars here.
There's British places.
British pubs. We have an Irish pub here as well.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
So international.
We're so biased. So recently we were hanging out at Bakawarai, our favorite izakaya near our house.
Yep.
And there's lots of people there sitting around drinking and enjoying their, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever night.
Mm-hmm.
And we read that interesting article that kind of felt like weird.
Wait a second.
What?
I just realized because I usually think, that you usually just like get together and you like go out to bars on like the weekend or whatnot. Like you drink on a Friday, drink on a Saturday. We don't operate off of regular business hours because we don't have regular 9-to-5 jobs. But every time we go to Bakawarai, there's always people hanging out there and drinking.
We always have to wait in line to get into our own
izakaya. It's not like, I'm only going to drink on the weekend. People go out drinking every single day.
Yeah, they go after work. It seems like it's like the thing to be.
Sorry if that's like a observation that everyone's already made, but I used to think that drinking and dining was reserved just for the weekends, but that's an old notion that I used to have.
Well, what I was going to actually get at is that we read that article recently that was really interesting about how millennial guys now in Japan are not drinking as much as they did before.
Yep.
And I was just thinking about how funny it was because we're at this izakaya being like, doesn't really seem that way.
Oh, yeah, we don't drink. Cheers! They had that really bizarre article. It wasn't bizarre, but I found it funny because the guy of Toyota that wanted to talk
the
about
Toyota
it.
President.
And he was complaining about like how like he doesn't really understand this generation of men because like this generation of men isn't buying as many cars as before. And back in his day, you couldn't ask a lady out unless you had your own automobile.
Mm-hmm.
But times are changing now.
Well, so with the not drinking a lot and with the not buying cars, there is actually another interesting thing that they're talking about regarding millennials not purchasing wristwatches.
Right.
Now, supposedly, I mean, the last time I had a rich watch, I had the rich watch.
A rich watch.
You've only had poor watches since then. Times are tough.
The rich watch. Do you remember the ones that you'd be able to time, the background would turn blue if you held on the light button?
Yeah.
It was like Timex?
Well, like I had for like a Nike sports watch as well. But like since I got my smartphone, like since I got my first phone, I never needed a watch. And I remember actually like for a long time thinking like I'd really like a watch. And then I'd walk around and I'd look at watches. I went to like even like fancy watch stores and like, all these watches look the same. Why am I spend so much money on watches? And actually, like one of our friends, like he asked us, like because like our friend is a lot more into watches than we are, and he was like, okay, so he gave us a picture of three watches. They're like, which one should I wear for the dinner? And I'm like, I don't know. This one looks funky. He's like, ooh, you put the $20,000 watch. $20,000 for a watch? What? Our friends are rich, by the way.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you can buy a car or a
I know.
$20,000 could buy so much cocoa.
You know how many cocoa I could buy? You know how many phones I could buy with that? Why? I don't understand the appeal of watches. So when this guy in the article is coming like, oh, people don't buy watches anymore. Yeah, because they're overpriced and dumb. The only watch that I bought was an Apple Watch because it helps me exercise better.
Well, when it comes to the watches, what they were trying to get at is that the decline of the sale of wristwatches when male millennials were like opting out of getting watches because they had a phone instead.
Right.
They said it was actually one of the first few signs in Japan of a culture shift.
Yes.
So it was kind of really symbolic because they said after the war and everybody was like working their way back, the grandfathers and then the fathers, getting this wristwatch was like a sign of status.
Mm.
It was something that said like I am on my way up. Like for example, you can go drinking every single night and no one will know.
Right.
But if you go to work
well,
with your
wristwatch. Well, the sign of status is your hangover
the next day. You can't handle your booze. Uh-huh. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of like how when iPhones first came out and flip phones first came out and all those different types of phones. In North America, remember that phone in the Matrix that you push the button and it slid up?
Yep.
That became that kind of symbol of like, oh my God. Like,
right.
If somebody had that phone, you could tell the differences. But nowadays,
phones are more of a status symbol than wristwatches are.
Right. But not only that, what's interesting is that when cell phones first came out, when we were growing up, because we grew up without a cell phone and then had cell phones, there were different types of cell phones. You could have Nokia, you could have the flip ones, you could have the flap ones, you could have the ones that had little like
Can you tell me the difference between the flip ones and the flap ones?
Yeah, the flap ones opened up like flip. Like an airplane flip.
Oh, what did the flip do?
They're like the small ones that you took your thumb and you went and you like flipped it open.
Ah, so there's a different sound effect versus the flips and the flaps.
Yes. And also the ones that had the like the blackberries and the blueberries and the strawberries.
Yep, those ones.
The ones that had little typing boards.
Yeah.
Right, but now I can really only think of three phones.
Mm-hmm.
People have iPhones.
Yeah.
People have Androids.
Yeah.
And there's another phone that I've never really seen, but people tell me they have.
For all of you Microsoft phone users.
Yeah, I really don't see that many anywhere.
I pay attention to tech news, so I know a lot more about. Even though I only use iPhones, I always pay attention to all the phone stuff that comes out. So I know about the Google phones and the Samsung phones and all the other phones.
Yeah. But the point that I'm getting at is that there's such a small scale of them. Like the only feeling you have is when you see someone who has like first generation iPhones and you're like, wait, what? Like it's so thick looking. Yeah. It looks like a brick.
I could even say like if somebody gave me an expensive wristwatch, I don't think I'd even wear it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like you have like a fancy bag that you only wear whenever we go to immigration to make them think that we have money.
Like,
hey, we actually have money. Please don't deport us. Like we're successful
and
people.
And then I put my bag back into its back holder and I go,
it's an immigration bag is what we got.
But now everyone knows if they see me with that bag that it's my special bag.
Yes. Ah, Martina must be applying for her visa renewal.
You know, this bag is so poorly used that it still has its original crease marks from how it was folded and given to me in a box.
Yeah.
It was a gift. And so when I unfold it, it still has those creases because I've not filled it with stuff.
Yep.
I don't know. When it comes to things like expensive watches and expensive bags, I have a payoff matrix in my mind of how much it really matters because some things for quality matter and some don't. So, for example, a knife.
Yeah.
If you cook, if anybody in at all in your home cooks,
We
don't mean you're a chef or whatever. I mean that you cut an apple or you cut steak to like fry it in
a pan. If you do more than just order delivery all the time.
Then you should invest in a good knife.
Right. All cheap knives are not good. As soon as you buy a good quality knife and you maintain it and you sharpen it, then like that is one of the most important things you could get for your cooking.
And the reason why I say that is because it is not one of those wrangle-fangle things that you hear about people who say, oh, I'm justifying these $300 jeans because they're high quality. I'm sorry. Jeans will always tear the crotch or the knee or the old tether at the bottom, those little tiny. I have had friends that spent so much money on jeans because they were like high quality and tore a huge hole in the crotch the day that they got them.
But you know, like speaking of knives, like I actually like know somebody, like one of our friends that's a millennial Japanese guy that spent like something like $600 on a really good knife, but he doesn't have a wristwatch and he doesn't have the other status symbols.
Right. Well, what I was trying to get at is that a knife is something that I can practically say you will use it every day.
Right.
You will cook with it every day.
Right.
And it will make a difference between a cheap knife because a cheap knife, you have to shove hard. It doesn't work. It slips up. You cut your finger open.
Yeah.
A wristwatch is like, they all just tell the time.
Yeah.
Blanket across the, if I get a dollar store watch, I get a capsule toy watch, and you get a $20,000 watch, their only job is to tell the time.
Well, there's another job that these watches have, and it's how attractive of a woman it will bring to you.
But then you know that if someone goes out with you based on the watch,
then it's a terrible match.
It's a
relationship doomed for failure.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that to me, I can't justify certain costs of certain things unless it actually makes sense. I can't.
Like, but going back to the point of this article.
What are we talking about?
We were talking about like how like this generation of men isn't doing the same thing as the previous generation. The wristwatches is one of them. And actually a big decline in drinking is the surprising one that I'm finding is mentioned in this article.
Do you
want
to hear this fantastic fact here?
Please tell me.
Horrifyingly.
Yes.
Apparently to the older generation, 39.8% of men in their 20s are non-drinkers.
So that's almost 40%.
Meaning...
Two out of five guys are non-drinkers here.
And then they said they either never or almost never had a night on the tiles. like passed out on the ground lying somewhere. Like, that's, and that apparently people who were over 60,
yeah,
it was just 25%.
So the older generation drinks a lot more than the younger generation. The younger generation is not drinking as much.
Right. And they were saying that the older generation, a lot of the people who aren't drinking said it was based on a doctor's advice. It wasn't so much like they made the choice.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting topic for us because we experienced this while living in Korea.
Right.
And it definitely is the same in Japan. Mm-hmm. There's a culture, and that's it's changing now, but a culture of having to drink with your boss.
Right.
And this was something that was really shocking for us when we were in Korea, where we would be told by our staff that we're going out for a staff meeting, like a staff dinner. And in North America, a staff meeting is boring.
Yeah, yeah.
You sit inside the school, you listen to everybody's stats on something, and you're lucky if you get a pizza.
But in Korea, you're getting tanked with your co-workers
and like forcibly tanked. Yeah. Like if you don't want to drink, they are pouring you this
shot. Much peer pressure in this, and it's bizarre because like back in Canada, I thought that'd be really unprofessional for me to get drunk.
Oh my gosh!
With,
the first time we went out, we were like, we're not drinking, and everyone's like, no, you have to drink.
Right. So it's such a huge shift, but I think now this generation is saying like, you know what? Like my father and my grandfather would work so much, and I would never see them at home because they would always work and they would always go drinking out with their bosses. This generation of men is actually saying no to going out to drink with their bosses, which I think is amazing because we have a friend who actually worked for a Japanese company. Like he's a lot older, and he told us that when he worked for Dentsu, he says the only choice you have as an employee in Japan, the one choice in your life, is to quit. But if you don't take that choice and all other choices are taken away from you, you do exactly what your boss tells you. You work as long as you're told. You transfer to different locations. Like if they say, okay, we're transferring you over to Hokkaido, you go there regardless of if your family's or not. And they're actually saying that this generation of men is now refusing transfers.
And what's so interesting about this is that if you guys are fans of any Japanese movies or dramas or even animes, you will see it come up, and from a foreign perspective, for example, we just recently rewatched Spirited Away.
Right.
So in Spirited Away, at the very beginning of the video, they're all driving together, and Chihiro looks really upset because her father had to take a transfer. Right?
Yeah.
To us, my perspective of that movie, the first time I saw it, I thought, oh, like, you know, like maybe he's a doctor and he's transferring to a different war. Right. Or like that's really tough. Yeah. Isn't that? But I realize now that I've gotten to know Japanese culture and people that I know directly that I've talked to, he probably could literally just work as a basic salaryman. We're not talking like a CEO or VP.
No, no.
We're talking just a normal peon employee who's told, now you're going to Hokkaido, and that's it. You have to go.
And you just got to go.
And we met lots of people when we've been having dinner and talking to people that are strangers who said, oh, I live here, but my husband lives back in Tokyo. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, I, when we were in Nagoya, we actually were like eating at a nice place in Nagoya, and the woman beside us was a journalist. And she's like, yeah, my husband lives here, but I live in Tokyo. But Nagoya and Tokyo were pretty far away. Like, how do you live like away
from... And she's like, oh, I had to transfer from my job. Like, it's...
Like, that's a lot more common here in Japan. I don't know a single person in my friend circle in Canada or America that actually live separate from their spouse. Is it common in Australia? Do people live separate from their spouses?
It doesn't feel like it's a Western thing. I think
it's mostly just like a
Asian
Japanese
culture, maybe
Korean
in China
thing.
I'm not sure.
Well, I have no idea about China, but from like Korea and Japan, like it seems more common there.
So getting back to the idea of like being forced into do things like transferring and drinking alcohol no matter what, here is a shocking stat. The consumption of alcohol is down, ready?
Yeah.
To 89% of its peak in 1996.
So So it's been declining since 1996.
Yep. And so the reason why we brought up before the Toyota president and the watchmakers, it also is affecting tie-making companies who used to be able to sell ties and certain shirts like crazy.
Exactly.
The alcohol company is now starting to be in a panic because drinking is going down for them as well. So all these things that before were basically like, here's your pack, open it up. This is what you need to be a salaryman.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
And you can even see like a lot of like ties and like shirts in convenience stores. Like if you like spill something on and you just need like a quick replacement, they sell those at convenience stores, which is awesome. Like I would never use it, but I just think it's so like explanatory of a culture, you could say.
Like if you're drinking coffee and you spill something on your tie, in North America we'd be like, oh, I spilled coffee on my tie. In Japan they're like,
better get a new one right there.
Exactly. So one of the things that we've mentioned a lot about people in Korea, which I think is the same in Japan from this article, is I'm going to read a quote here. This person said that I don't think the fanatical workers who put the company ahead of everything in their lives exists anymore in Japan.
Right.
After the war, Japan had to rebuild quickly and people worked very hard.
Yeah.
And those people were my grandfather's generation.
Exactly.
And then that continued into my father's generation. But that way of thinking doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
And so that idea of, you know, like actually saying, no, I'm going to see my kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually not go drinking all the time.
I'm
going
to
be a father.
I'm going to contribute to the family. I'm going to spend quality time with them.
Outside of just bringing in money.
And, you know, like this actually, like some people are suggesting that this is tying in like to like changing or reversing the bad birth rate in Japan. Because like if you worked all the time and if you worked obscene hours and you spent more time with your company than with your spouse, then it's a lot more difficult for you to have children because you don't have enough quality time to actually do the act of procreation.
Now, what's really interesting about this is that I think last year for our radio show, we talked about the concept of black companies.
Yes.
Remember the ones that people online were voting as the worst companies to work for in Japan because they'll work you to death? That's what the quote was like. It's a black company. You don't want to work for them. Well, the person in the article says, we consider now anyone who puts in crazy hours for the company to be working for a black company. And that works their staff to death to the point of karoshi, the idea of
death
working
by
death
overwork.
By overwork. Well, before, that terminology didn't exist.
Exactly.
You wouldn't call a company a black company. It was just a company. But nowadays, people are saying, I'm not going to work for them. And they're saying that because they want a different option.
So these men now that are refusing transfers and are not buying wristwatches and are not drinking as much and are spending more time with their families, this kind of goes back to that term of like the herbivore that we were talking about before. Which
rice
is
cookers
like,
have been on the up.
You know, the rice cookers have been on the rise, like people spending a lot of money on expensive knives and whatnot. Like these people that aren't buying the things that were like typical of the previous generation, that's kind of like the herbivore generation.
And the last thing I wanted to mention on this before we hit for a break is that people were saying that they do drink, like the younger generation is saying, it's not that we don't drink,
right?
It's that I don't want to drink with my boss
or
other people I work with. I want to drink with my friends,
which I agree with. I don't necessarily want to drink with my boss. Like if I want to drink and I want to like open up, I want to do so with people that are close in my circle, people that are like my friends, my family.
I mean, if your boss is someone that you're cool with, then that's fine. But then, the majority of people, we're talking about going out with like a CEO and like trying to butter up to them and like pour their drinks, and it's an awkward situation altogether.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of people not going as crazy as they used to be anymore, I can think of a pretty appropriate song about going crazy.
Let's listen to 2PM's Go Crazy coming up next on SBS Pop Asia Radio.
Eat your kimchi on SBS Pop Asia.
Welcome back to Eat Your Kimchi on SBS Pop Asia Radio. This is Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're talking about getting drunk.
But are we?
We're another interesting stat one of coming out. Not a stat, but kind of like a factoid in which men are not drinking as much as they used to. Like the numbers have definitely decreased. But what's on the increase is how much wine is being drunk by women in Japan. So the women alcohol stat is going up, the men alcohol. Well, that's because that's kind of unfair because we're just talking about not all alcohol with women, but just wine. Wine is gaining in popularity here, especially in Japan.
So we got a bit of a stat here. So apparently wine consumption in Japan is at about how many bottles per person per year, do you think?
Oh my gosh, 7,000.
Per person. No. So I'm saying in Japan, per person. I'm a single person. An entire year has gone by. How much wine do you think I've consumed as a Japanese
person?
Well,
if you drink two bottles a day by yourself as you're sobbing, that's 730 bottles a person.
Is that your actual guess?
No, it's not. Yeah. I don't know. 100.
Four.
Four bottles per person per year?
Yep.
Girl, we go through that in a week.
I'm just saying.
We got an issue.
I'm just saying.
Four bottles a person a year, that's it?
Yeah. So they said that wine is still quite low in Japan.
It's
not because, I mean, when we go out, people order sake and they order shochu and they order chu highs and they order highballs.
Right.
So wine consumption is still not quite up there.
Yeah.
But they said that it's been steadily on the increase.
There you go.
Only
four.
That's the average.
Average.
I mean, but here's what you got to think about. First of all, Japan is a population majority of old people.
Yeah.
How many old people do you think are going out and buying wine?
You know,
they're buying sake and shochu.
One of our foodie friends actually, like, he's got a great palate. He like can tell you like where, like he'll taste something, be like, oh, is that salt from this region? Like he knows this stuff very well. He says he can't drink wine because he can't drink fruit flavored, like fruit derived alcohol. So he only drinks rice wines. Rice alcohols.
Yeah, you know? And he's older.
Yeah, he's
so
older.
So remember that four bottles per person per year is because this is actually going towards people between their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Women-wise, they said every single year wine consumption has been broken in Japan since 2012. Every single year since 2012, it's gone up and up and up
and
up. And every single year since 2011, sake has been going down. So even though it may not be that people are buying it, apparently they're going out to drink it. So women are going for tapas in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And they said that they go out with their friends. And this one woman was saying that they'll drink four to five bottles in the entire night.
Yeah.
Just sitting around, chatting, enjoying tapas and drinking wine together.
I'm actually interested to see, like, I don't know where I'll be able to find statistic, but I want to see how it is in Korea, because I remember in Korea, like, the wine so overpriced there. And because, like, there we have a wine app called Vivino, in which, like, we're looking at different wines, like, oh, which one should we get? And we take a picture of it, it scans in the database, and then it tells you the average rating of it and the average price. In Korea, like, every average price for a bottle that we would see in the app would be like, oh, it's like $8 or $12. And in Korea, it'd be like $20 to $30 per bottle. But here in Japan, you could actually get like a $6 bottle of wine, a $9 bottle of wine, a $12 bottle of wine. You know, and like these aren't terrible, terrible wines. Like it's so much more expensive in Korea. So I wonder if like wine consumption is like what it's like in Korea as well.
Well, I remember reading before a different article talking about wine as a stat in Korea. So it wasn't necessarily that people were getting into wine as like a hobby that you could actually get into because it's too expensive. It was more like I'm going to order the wine because
it's like a fancy wristwatch.
Exactly. But as long as there's still those import taxes in Korea, like then wine's never going to make a chance to grow. But the reason why wine started increasing in Japan was because apparently in, I think it was not Nagoya, it was in, what's the really name? Oh, starts with a Hokkaido.
Hokkaido.
Got it on my own. 54 years ago, a winery opened in Hokkaido. And so that winery helped to start, like, get people interested in wine.
Right.
But I don't know if Korea's really getting into that yet.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Well, thinking of a favorite Korean who loves wine, I know the perfect song to follow this up by. Mr. T.O.P. He is a very big wine fan. So let's listen to Turn It Up. Coming up next on SBS Pop Asia Radio.
Eat your kimchi on SBS Pop Asia.
Welcome back to Eat Your Kimchi on SBS Pop Asia Radio. This is Simon.
And this is Martina.
And if you're tuning in now, you're tuning in too late. We talked about getting drunk.
You know what's really sad?
What?
We were going to talk about cats.
Oh, we had a great story about cats, but we talked so much about alcohol consumption and watch consumption and like the changing of generations. This is all really interesting stuff. So if you want to hear what you missed out on, head on over to the SBS Pop Asia Radio website. Click on the Eat Your Kimchi tab and you can see when we are on repeat.
Also, there is a new show happening now on SBS Pop Asia Radio. It's called Hits and Memes, as in like our cat.
I thought it's memes.
Like it's not like memers.
No, memes.
Oh, okay. It's on every weeknight from 7 p.m. It's going to be the best Asian pop ever. It's literally a mix of old school and today's hits. So this is the perfect thing to like do your homework to and everything.
Otherwise, if you want to hear us next week, make sure you tune in Monday at 10 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, where we'll tell you more about Japan, Korea, and the rest of the world. Take care, everybody.
And cats, I swear.
And now let's drink our 4 bottles of wine. Woo!
Okay, you make it sound like we sit down at one sitting. Okay, bye, guys. Yeah,
we don't do that.
Who said we haven't already?
Who said?
Listen again to Eat Your Kimchi Radio. Get the podcast from the free SBS Pop Asia app.